John chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. We'll go through to verse 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, lead us, give us tonight what it is you know we have need of hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Then he goes on and he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In John, turning to chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus teaches of the Spirit. We saw that he teaches of new birth. But tonight we look and we see that he teaches of the Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice what we have going here. The Comforter, and then he identifies the Comforter as the Holy Ghost, whom the Father sends the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Okay? And make very clear there, whom the Father will send in my name. He, that is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I, Jesus, has said. So the Father sends the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, but the task of the Holy Ghost is to teach us the things that Jesus taught. And it is necessary for us to have the work of the Holy Ghost if we are going to understand what the Scripture is. Now, we understand with the mind, yes, but we must also understand with the heart, the inner man. Because to know with the mind alone is not adequate. Even as a born-again person, a born-again person also needs the work of the Holy Ghost to teach what he comprehends with the mind. There's times where we do not comprehend something that Jesus taught with our mind. And therefore, the work of the Holy Ghost to the inner man will bring an understanding of that which Jesus teaches. Now, in the same book, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12, where Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know, there's a lot of things when you first get saved. There's things that he has for us to learn, but we can't grasp them, we can't understand them, we can't bear them. They're beyond us. So it just takes a little bit of time. And now he goes on, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He had not come yet in this capacity for the believers. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost's purpose is not to speak about himself and to draw attention to himself. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He, the Holy Ghost, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So he guides us into all truth. He helps us to understand things that we cannot initially grasp and understand. Everybody has need of learning. Everybody has need of learning. And when we learn some things, great, now we understand that. But guess what? There'll be something else come along.
That's right.
You
That's
never right. stop learning. Oh, there's always something a little more, and you need the ministry of the Holy Spirit constantly. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse, now this verse makes clear that the sons of God and daughters, all right, we have to add that for our day, okay? I mean, there was a day that people knew that that was not sons in a limited sense of the male species, but rather of a generic form. But we're not living when people understand that, so we have to throw in and daughters, all right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit. And when a person's not led by the Spirit, that's a good indicator that you're not a child of God. Okay? That's a good indicator. You're not a child of God. And then let me put that on the reverse side. If you are led by the Spirit of God, that's a good indicator that you are a child of God. Okay, I'm thinking of the women's group, and they're having, you know, searching for assurance of salvation. Well, when you're doing that, look for the evidences of salvation. And if you're seeing those evidences of salvation in your life, it's a good idea that you got it. Okay? Because the evidences are there. And so here he's telling us that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, Titus chapter 3. This is my last scripture that I'm going to tonight, but I'm going to be here a little bit. Titus chapter 3. That's not an unfamiliar scripture. I must go to verse 4 because I see the end of verse 4 has a comma. The same as the end of 5 has a semicolon. So does the end of 6 have a semicolon. So I've got to read the whole thought. So I'm going to read 4 through 7, though I'm focusing on verse 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Focusing on verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now, the reason I called attention to the punctuation at the end of those verses, that's a complete thought that the Apostle Paul is giving. And because there are some verses like 5 that we quote frequently and refer to frequently, we can tend to isolate it for our purpose. And that's okay, but we need to understand that though we isolate it for our purpose, Paul had it part of a larger purpose.
Yes,
and we do well to realize that when we're reading or studying the scriptures. All right, now, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. All right, so we know we don't get saved by our own good works. But according to his mercy, he saved us. All right, we know that he saves us by giving us grace. We know that he saves us by the Spirit's work. And hold on a minute. I got to turn this down one notch. For those of you on live streaming, I turned the fan down. It was blowing my Bible pages. And, so, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He had not shown us mercy. All of the grace that he has wouldn't have done us any good. But it's when he showed us mercy, that's when the Spirit of God began to work in us. And because the Spirit of God then began to work in us, he was able to bring us to salvation. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, here's the part I'm going to focus on. He talks about two things here. First, he talks about by the washing of regeneration. And then the second one, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go backwards here, all right? By the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is teaching about the Spirit's power. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost renews our mind, our thinking. And remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn to that, you may. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How are these things become new? They have become new by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When a person gets saved, okay, they begin the process. We are instantaneously made a child of God, and instantaneously we have new life in us. But he also tells us that we are renewed by the Holy Ghost. And it is an ongoing experience. And when Paul talks about being a new creature, all things become new. It's by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, his work in us. But look at what's before that. The washing of regeneration. To sum it up, the Hain explanation by the washing of regeneration. I was filthy, dirty by sin. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and his work on the cross, then God began to work and he regenerated me. The washing of regeneration. Back before alternators in vehicles, okay, you had a generator served the same purpose as the alternator. The alternator is supposed to be a better creature, and I'm not mechanical, so I couldn't say one way or the other. All I know is that when your battery would go down, the generator would be generating more power and would build up that battery, and now it was regenerated. Okay? And so in your life, you got saved, you got new life in Christ, and the Holy Spirit, his work in us, helps to regenerate us. And so the washing of regeneration, the cleansing that he did. He took your sins and he took them on himself. And the situation at hand is that he washed you. He got rid of all that filth. There's scriptures, you know, that he cast them in the depth of the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. He removed them from us. Amen. He has regenerated us. He did it by washing. And then, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is the renewing. And as he gives us not only new life in the sense of salvation, but he continually makes our life new and better. Now, salvation is the package, okay? But, you know, when I get a Christmas package, I get a package. That's the gift. But it's got some wrapping on it. And then I open it up. Oh, and underneath that wrapping is a box. And then I open the box, and then there's some bubble wrap, okay? Or some styrofoam peanuts. And then I get through that, and then, wow, there is the gift. Now listen, when you get saved, you get salvation. That's it. You got salvation. It's one package, but there's a whole lot of parts to it. You see? Whole lot of parts. And that's what he's talking about here. Two parts. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's sanctification. There's in the future glorification. Okay? So there's different parts. As you read the Bible, you learn more. And then you learn some of the details about these parts. Man, I've been saved now for 3 years. I've learned so much. I didn't realize what I didn't know. But man, I know a lot now. Yeah, but there's a whole lot more to know. Okay? And so you got salvation. Praise God. You needed that. And that's what God sent Jesus to die for. And that's, if you please, the ticket to heaven. Okay, and that's what shut the door to hell for you. But there's so much that's involved in that package of salvation. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. I told you my definition is it's the cleansing from your sin. Every commentator that I looked to see what they called that washing, every one of them, about 8 or 9 of them, 10, 12. I just remembered, it's a software program, so it's not actual books. Every one of them said it was baptism. Yeah. Even to the point where one referred to baptismal regeneration in a positive way. Yeah. Now, I knew what it said. So please, don't misunderstand. I wasn't going there to find out what it said. But I wanted to see what they said about it. And every one of them was off base, because you see, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that's the inward that you can't see, but the laver, referring back to the Old Testament, the laver, well, they turned the baptismal font, because they weren't Baptists, they had a font. You don't need a font if you have a baptistry. A baptistry is what you immerse people in, or a lake or a stream. Okay? And so that's, they talked about it. That is the, you always look for what the meaning of the symbol is. So what's the meaning of this baptismal font? You know, when I first went into ministry, I was in a church that baptized babies. I got out of it, don't panic, okay? But nobody told me you should warm the water up when you're going to sprinkle someone the head of a baby. Well, I don't like cold water either. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. And so that baptismal font is the visible, and then most of these commentators explain that in order to be baptized, you had to have made a claim of faith in Jesus Christ. That back in Bible times, they wouldn't baptize you if you didn't make a claim of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there could be some validity to that, but there's no substantiation for it. And then one of them even went so far as to say, you know, we must be careful that we don't allow our belief in what things mean to lead us in our interpretation of scriptures. And I'm thinking to myself, did you hear what you just said? You're doing what you just said a person must be careful of not doing. But you see, when that is the normal, then everybody plugs into it. You know what I thought when, as I was looking through these different commentaries to see what they, and after I got two or three of them that said the same thing, now I was really curious. Now I'm going to check them all out, okay? I thought I was watching the news on TV. Because when one person comes on, we're talking the left now, one person comes on and they say that, guns are the source of our problem. Every news commentator for the next three nights is going to quote that. Okay? And then whatever the subject is, they're all going to use the same talking points. And I thought to myself, this is nothing new that we're seeing in the news. This is exactly what these commentators writing in the late 1800s and the early 1900s did, only it was with this subject, the subject of the matter of the washing of regeneration. Regeneration takes and makes you new. And the washing is the cleansing. They all wanted to have you get a bath, but they wanted it in a laver. They wanted it in their baptismal font. They didn't want it by a washing, by the sense of the power of God cleansing a person. That's all that that means. Oh, but we don't end there. Because now we're going to go to Mark, and I got to wrap this thing up. We're going to go to Mark, and in Mark he says, you know, they that believe and are baptized. Oh, well, you see right there that one verse was used to substantiate all of their emphasis, okay, on baptism. And that shows how this business here of washing of regeneration, how that coordinates, you see. But John chapter 3, we're going to go to it. John chapter 3, and verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, now, most of the commentators want to say, well, see, born of water, that means like born of the flesh, born of blood. That's what that's referring to. You have to be physically born. Well, of course, if you're not physically born, how in the world would you go into the kingdom of God? That makes no sense at all as far as explaining it. But if a man be born of water, how about the washing of regeneration? The cleansing, okay? Born of water and of the Spirit. So here we see in John 3:5 those same two emphases of washing, okay? And water and the use of water. And it doesn't involve baptism in either instance. In either instance. And you say, well, what about the Mark passage you just spoke about? You never take a verse that is difficult to understand and use it to complicate an easy to understand verse. Okay? Your easy to understand verses always give you leading to understand a verse that is not as easy to get a hold of. Okay? And so, many cults have used that, as a matter of fact, the Church of Christ, okay, they use that verse because it says there, you believe and are baptized, then you're saved. He's not saying that baptism is a requirement for salvation. If that were what it was saying, then guess what? A dozen or more other verses that don't say that, God made a mistake and left it out. Well, if you put it that way, I did put it that way. Because you've got to use a little bit of common sense reasoning, and if you please, logic, to come to an understanding. Hence, you never take a more difficult to understand verse and use it to explain the easy to understand or the obvious to understand Bible verses. Now, with that, we're going to end. Yes?
I'm going to back up what you just said.
Okay.
Mark, during the Middle Ages, when the Anabaptists were out there hunted like animals, that
right.
verse in Mark was actually their favorite, because he that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved, or he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Right.
They pointed out it's the belief that was the difference. And they used that very
yes.
verse.
Very good.
Those people down.
There
That's
you go.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Very good. Very good. Yes. Yes. Wish I'd have had that about 3 hours ago when I'm getting ready. Very good. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's all we're going to say for tonight, friends, on live streaming. We're glad that you came and joined us, and we'll look for you on Sunday as well. And we begin our new week on Sunday, 11 o'clock service. The evangelist Cliff Taylor will be here, and he will be with you for tonight.